Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. We are here tonight on the night of the Big Brother Canada 9 premiere. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and joining me today to recap this this momentous occasion, the first hopefully completed season of Big Brother Canada in 2 years. We have Asia. How you doing, Asia?
True. So I'm just happy to be here.
Yes. Sorry for the slight audio issues there, but we're fixed. We're fixed now. Don't worry about it. We just missed a little bit of Asia's introduction. That's fine.
totally fine.
Yes. Also with us tonight is Melissa. How you doing, Melissa?
I'm doing great. I am so excited to be talking the premiere of Big Brother Canada. I can't tell you how much I've looked forward to this. And, you know, it didn't disappoint. I think, like, it was interesting to see. I mean, I guess, like, we already had seen the intro videos, so we already knew that. We knew who the cast was going to be. I was interested to see, number one, are they adding additional cast members because there's only 14? So far, we don't know. And then the other thing was, you know, the captains, how are they going to decide the teams? How are they going to then decide who gets evicted? Is it like Survivor? How are they doing it? And so it was, you know, it answered all our questions, I think, for the most part, but it was very fun and I liked the competition. So very good overall premiere.
Yes. This was an interesting premiere. I feel like the premieres are always interesting. I feel like we get, you know, the first half of the episode is, you know, if you're somebody that follows along with the cast, you know, where we see the interviews and we see their bios, you know, you sort of you already have seen a lot of the first half of the episode. So it's a lot of like rehash. Mm-hmm. You're just kind of like waiting for them to actually interact in the house. I don't know. I feel like we probably say this, or at least I probably say this every season, but I would have liked to see more interaction in the house instead of like going straight to a comp and then like ending the episode.
Yeah. I mean, you do miss that because it's like you want to know what first impressions are. You want to know like what people are thinking. And I do think that like Big Brother US does a good job of that for the most part, you know, because they have them sit around and drink champagne and introduce themselves and like see the reactions that they have to each other. And like, even though they're probably like fake in the diary room, like, oh, she's hot, I wouldn't mind hooking up with her or whatever. Like, at least you get something. So it's like, okay, what are we trying to set up here? Like, what are the two possible showmances? Or like, what are, you know, the possible alliances? And I feel like we only got that like once, I guess, like just like a couple people being like, I like you or whatever, and that's it.
Yeah. David in the chat with a good point. Asia, were there any diary rooms in this episode at all other than like the during the challenge?
Right. So I feel like I remembered Brayden at a certain point in the diary room. Yeah. That was the only time that we got to see them interact or say something about what was happening. And I think it's because they had to explain the twist like four times.
Yeah, they had to. I mean, I feel like we did. We buried the lead a little bit. It turns out this is not Big Brother Canada 9. This is Survivor Canada season one. we are playing a Survivor and not Big Brother this season. It turns out Rob should be on this podcast, I think.
Right. Totally. Wait, so, okay, so can you explain to me now, this is something that I think I just missed, is now, does everybody vote someone from one team out, or is it that one team, like, tribal councils it and vote out?
So I believe how this works is that there are two teams. They were picked by the two captains voted in by Canada. These two teams competed in this episode, as we saw. And the losing team is vulnerable for eviction. Every single one of them, except for their team captain, Kiefer, who is going to be immune this week at the very least. Everybody in the house will be voting for one of the other six people on the losing team, except for Tina, the team captain of the other team, unless there is a tie, in which case Tina will break that tie. So I'm so glad that they simplified this game.
Yeah, of course. Very, very simple. So there's no nominees. It's just that we already know the nominees because they're that team. It's not like we're going to narrow it down further before we vote.
But didn't Arissa say that everyone will vote, including the nominees? So she was just saying like the losing team are the nominees. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
And there's no veto.
Right.
I'm interested to see how this plays out. I feel like Rohan is probably going to go. I don't know. I just feel like I don't think that he's in a good place right now in regards to like his team. And he was picked near the end and he didn't like pull through. And I feel like it's an easy out at this point.
Yeah, it's so hard too, because like Taryn, like you said, no one is interacting with each other. So it's just like, I was grasping at like, okay, Undercover Bros, like trying to be like posing something to each other. I'm like, oh, okay, I see Austin and Victoria in the bathroom. So it's like, I don't know. It's not until they spend the night there that we will really get to see. Cause Rohan seems like the type of guy that I would want to have a conversation with. So I think he may have just had a rough, like first impression visually.
Plus I think part of it too is like, cause I'm seeing in the chat, people are saying, yeah, but he lasted the longest. Doesn't that like, you know, the longest on his team, doesn't that account for anything? And I think it does, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, but then he lost to Victoria. Whereas like with Brayden or somebody, it was like, well, we don't expect him to stay in this long. So this is like surprising and great and we're happy for him. But Rohan, it's like, well, you should have beat her. And it's kind of like, I feel like that might be the mindset going into it. And plus, like, it doesn't seem like he's connecting with people. I mean, it's hard to say because it's like, we don't really know, but it did seem kind of like that. So I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, this all took place probably Saturday night. You know, today's Wednesday, the eviction is tomorrow. So there's been a lot of time, for anything to happen. I feel like we probably have no idea. I feel like they have an entire, you know, nearly a week, to fit into tomorrow's eviction episode. We'll probably get, you know, 20 minutes of strategy, to fill that out. And we'll then discover, I think, who's going to be in danger, because I really have no idea. I mean, I think there are all kinds of options, right? Let's list the six people that are up for eviction. Not that, you know, anyone will necessarily even be able to connect a face to the name yet. Jedson is up for eviction. Josh, Rohan, we have Latoya, Brayden, and one other person.
No, it was six, right?
Yeah, there's one
okay,
more.
Okay, that was six.
Or was that six?
Yeah, that was six.
I mean, Julie. I think that Rohan would go, just because like, I feel like
Julie.
If the other team is voting, like they're going to want to get out the guy who lasted the longest and who was like most impressive. I mean, I think that Jed's on that team, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I think like, I mean, if we are to believe that the whole Undercover Bro thing or whatever is real, then there's a reason not to get out Jed for that side, at least for one of the players.
Assuming so Tashaun has any influence, right?
Yeah, but at least that would be one vote not for him, mm-hmm. like is what I'm saying. So like, if I think like if the whole team is going to talk and be like, this is who we should get out, it probably will be Rohan because he lasted the longest and it's an easy vote. There's no hard feelings because it's like, look, like you were the strongest person there, blah, blah, blah. Well, It just seems likely.
To be fair, though, like, was Rohan the strongest one there, or was it just that, you know, Jed got loaded up with much more weight much earlier, right?
Yeah, but I think it's an argument to be made that, like, it keeps your hands clean because you're like, well, you know, you lasted the longest and that means you're a big threat. So we're just going to have to, you know what? We have to vote you out. We don't want to do it, but we're going to do it.
It's very possible.
But if Team Destiny, if they have this mindset, like, okay, let's get out Rohan, I think Tashaun, if he is, like, if him and Jed are, like, actually close, Jed is an athlete. Like, he is not going to have the mindset, like, let's get Rohan out. He's going to be thinking, we're playing as a team. We need our strongest players. So he's going to do everything in his power to keep Rohan and then maybe get out one of the first people to drop and try to, or to drop their thing and try to convince Tashaun to tell his team, like, no, we need to figure out a way to get this person out. Like, I think if Jed has anything to do with it, he's not going to want Rohan out.
It certainly creates like a weird dynamic right off the bat within your own team. Cause you're like, but we're supposed to be on a team and now you're voting for me. Like, I feel like it already just like, it just kind of throws the whole thing off. But I guess that's the point. I mean, it makes for weird like alliances because, you know, you're going to be aligned with people who are on your team just because they're on your team. And yet then you have to like turn against them the second your team loses. I mean, I'm literally like, I get that I'm literally just saying like what Survivor is,
yeah.
But like, but like it's interesting in a Big Brother
guys,
format.
This Survivor thing is such a fascinating concept.
This is so unique. It's just crazy. It's hard to wrap my head around it.
We need to get Shannon Gates on a podcast with us to talk about the intricacies of Survivor gameplay.
Yeah, like please explain for someone who's more of a Big Brother person. Not that I don't watch Survivor, not that I don't know it, but I do think like in the context of Big Brother, it's a little different, especially because you're living with the two tribes or teams or whatever in one house versus on two separate islands and you only see each other for a challenge. Like I feel like there's a different dynamic there because you're like stuck together.
Yeah, yes. It'd be different if they were like locked in the rooms that they're staying in and can't interact, but they're going to like, they're sleeping there.
Right.
And they're going to stay up all night. They're going to be in the kitchen. They're going to be in the living room. So they're
plus they can talk to each other. Like they can talk to the other team and be like, okay, look, if you get out this person for me, I'll get out this person for you. There's going to be cross team alliances. Like, I think it'll be very interesting to see how this plays out. I feel like I like the two team thing versus previous Big Brother seasons where it's been like four small teams. I kind of like the idea that there's just like more people, two teams. It like kind of creates that dynamic.
Yeah, I would say the biggest difference with Survivor, I believe Survivor has done both of these things in smaller doses. We have one world where both tribes lived on the same beach. And I think, was it Fiji or was it another season where they had everybody, regardless of tribes, casts a vote? That might have been on like Game Changer. I don't remember. But they've definitely done that one before as well. But basically, the other team is also going to be voting. So there are going to be, you know, seemingly conflicting interests here, right? Where on your own team, you want to keep the strong players because you want them there to win the challenge so that you're not vulnerable in the next week. The other team might want to get rid of the stronger players because that would help them beat that other team and then be safe for that week. So those conflicting motivations should help keep the teams divided, but it's not necessarily going to be the dominant strategy to go along those lines. That's sort of what Survivor players have figured out, which is that, like, sure, in the short term, having strong competitors on your team or not having strong competitors on the other team can be good for you, but you need to think about your long-term strategy. And at the end of the day, I think a good player or good players on this season will probably recognize we want to just keep the strong players in if we get along with them, because once this whole team thing stops working, we're just going to run the challenges like we've been doing in the last few seasons. So that's what I would be expecting. I would expect Tashaun and Jed to get together and be like, hey, we got to protect the strong people. You might come for me this week, sure, but what happens if you do lose next week? They'll come for you. We need to stick together. they'll probably pull in, they'll probably try to pull in Rohan as like, you lasted the longest, man. Like, we don't want you out. They'll probably try to pull in, you know, maybe they'll try to pull in Natalie for clutching that, or sorry, not Natalie. I keep calling her Natalie instead of Victoria, pull in Victoria and be like, hey, you beasted that competition. We don't want you to go if you guys lose the next challenge. And so, that I think is definitely a possibility. And and the way that these are, the sort of the twist is set up, I think we have a situation where the players who are not good in challenges are probably going to be seen as considerably less valuable than they even were in the previous version of the game, because they're now not contributing to the team. They're not only not winning for themselves, but they're not contributing to the team, Asia.
Right, exactly. And it's so difficult though, because they may want to keep them around. Like, they may want to keep the weaker people around. Let's say that they both teams get together and develop the strategy. Well, they may not want to send home the weakest person, because they think, okay, the winning team, if we lose next week, we need to have somebody to kind of like campaign around. So it's such a fine, it really depends on who they listen to this week. Cause I'm trying to figure out, are they going to try to treat Tina like she's the HOH and listen to her opinion, what she has to say? Or are they going to see like, okay, we're a team, we're the winning team, let's try to decide and then try to pull in Team Defender to see what they want to do. So I don't. I think it really depends on who wins. Your dog is adorable.
Thank you. Yes, there's two of them back there now. But anyway, yeah, I was going to say that I think it's also interesting because, like, I mean, it could go either way. We really have no idea how this is going to play out. But it seems to me like this is a good way to make it so that there's not just like one dominant alliance where then they just pick off all like the stragglers who haven't really formed a group, because it's like there's two teams set up right there. And it's not just like one big alliance. However, like, you know, Taryn was just kind of giving a scenario where there would be a dominant alliance. It's like if all the strong people come together and decide like we're strong, we're going to work together. And so I would hope that's not the case. But, you know, I guess we'll just have to see how it plays out, because it honestly could go either way.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, when you have everybody voting, it's still going to be the best strategy to get a majority of people together to protect yourselves, regardless of which team ends up losing. So I think I see what they're going for here. I think it's possible that it could work, but I would not be too surprised if the feeds turn on tomorrow night and there's some kind of inter-team alliance of, you know, popular kids.
I feel like we should brace ourselves for that, because I feel like we always turn on the feeds and then we're so disappointed and we're like, no, how did this happen already? So, you know, we just have to assume that that's already going to be in place, so we're not sad when we turn on the feeds.
Right. And I automatically assume it's going to be some variation of like Tashan, Jed, Victoria, and then pulling in people from there. Yeah.
Austin.
Yeah. And then it's going to be crazy that Austin is in there, given that she got out first. But like you said, it's just the pretty people. Yeah. So they're just like, oh, naturally, you know, she's going to come in.
All the models.
Right.
All the models.
So many models.
Anyone who's done any sort of side modeling in their life, they're invited.
Look, guys, the heart wants what the heart wants.
No, we have to say it together at the same time.
All right. Are we ready? Ready? Three.
The heart.
Oh. Asia, we're just not meant for each other.
It's just not right.
We would not be cast on the same season. There's no showman's potential.
They could never slice it together.
Oh boy.
Oh man. My first thought when they showed that in the intro, it was Jed and was it Beth? Or was it Austin?
I think it was Austin.
It might have been Austin.
Yeah, it was Austin.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, Austin, I didn't pay totally too much attention to all the intro packages just because I was like, yeah, I've seen all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do want to say, like, I know I already said this in the draft, but I just want to like reiterate that like I loved the intro packages this year. I felt like they were so much more natural and so much more, you got like more their personality. You got to know them more. You got to see where they're from. I feel like them standing in a black box, you know, just like making faces and posing is not like, it doesn't do it for me. So
you were a huge fan of the TikToks.
I don't know. I think I might be too old for TikTok. I don't know. It's a lot of pointing and just like smiling.
Yeah.
So, you know, I could do that, but you know,
I mean, we're TikTok masters at this point.
I feel like I didn't learn anything from the TikTok. So it really wasn't for me, but I certainly watched. So, you know, they got those views. So I guess that's good.
Yes. I can't remember a season of Big Brother Canada or Big Brother US in the last few seasons. Maybe the All-Star season, because it doesn't really, you know, there weren't many showmans. Yeah, we said that, and then, you know, look how that turned out.
True love.
But there's always some kind of prepackaged, like in the intro packages, there's some kind of thing where it's like, well, I want a man that's tall, dark, and handsome. I'm tall, dark, and handsome. Okay, we get it. You're trying. I get how proud you are of all the married couples in Big Brother around the cast. Like, how often do those people that get matched up actually match up, though? Very rarely.
Very rarely. And it's like, if you go back and watch those first episodes of like, oh, this person is hot, that's not the one they end up in a showmance with. But they tried to do it with Beth and Kyle. And I was like, oh, that was a last, or I was like, that was either a last minute decision or the same thing would have happened with the other guy. So that was funny.
Yeah, there was a little interaction between Beth and Kyle. I don't know if you guys caught this, where when they got picked on the same team and she was like, tie me up. And then he was like, okay. And she's like, I've got BO, it's team BO or something. Yeah. Like, I was like,
he's
this
like, you stink?
Is this flirting? I can't tell.
You're like, I think this is good.
He was so confused. He was like, wait, you stink?
This is flirting COVID time. This is nobody knows how to do it anymore.
Yeah. Do you see that Saturday Night Live skit where they went on the first date after COVID and then just everyone has no idea what they're doing? And I was like, yep, that's it. That's how it's going to be. They're like, we got to dance to this song. And they start playing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And they're like, the classic slow dance.
There you go.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
What did we think of the order of the schoolyard pick here? Where I don't remember the exact. Obviously, Tashawn and Jed. I mean, they're both just these massive guys. I didn't know they were like about the same height too. Like they go one and two. Beyond that, I didn't recall exactly the order, but we ended up getting down to. I think the last four were like Julie, Rohan, Brayden, and Victoria, something like that.
It's funny because I thought.
So I have the order. For Team Destiny, it was Tashawn, then Victoria, Kyle, Beth, Tara, and Austin. And then for Team Defender, it was Jed, Latoya, Josh, Julie, Rohan, and Brayden.
It's funny because when I first saw the teams, I was like, oh, Brayden actually got on a really good team. His team is the strongest team. They're going to win for sure. And then they lost. So really, I have no idea what's going on. But I really did. It did seem to me like that was the stronger team. It, just because like the people in it seemed, you know, they're really athletic. I mean, at the same time, you know, it's Big Brother and we don't know if the competitions will be super physical or super mental. Like, I really don't know. It could, you know, be a wide variety of things. However, it does seem like the teams are a little uneven, maybe, at least from my perspective, but they lost. So maybe I don't know anything.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I feel like the loss is probably, you know, most on Kiefer as the person who is in charge of, you know, divvying up the weights. You know, I think both teams are probably about equally capable of holding weight. I think the crux of that entire competition is how do you distribute that weight? Who do you put it on when, you know, that's a very survivor tactic. It's a survivor challenge. You know, when somebody's already struggling, you don't put any more weight in their bucket because they're already going down. You're just wasting weight on them at that point. Right. There are like a bunch of like small little, things that you should do when you're the person distributing that weight. And the fact that the Kiefer's team kind of stumbles out to me was like, okay, you know, massive kudos to Victoria. But also Kiefer probably dropped the ball here most.
Honestly, Victoria was super impressive to me. I really did not see that coming at all. Like, I was shocked. And I mean, I have to say, like, I underestimated her physically. She had said something about being athletic a little bit or something, but it wasn't like played up like everybody else who said, like, I'm super, super fit. Like, I'm all about sports. I'm all about like fitness, whatever. And so I really didn't see it coming. And I, good for her. That was really good.
Yeah, I was so impressed. I was like, okay, because I did not picture her being the physical threat by any means. And I thought she was just going to be one of the pretty people, hang out with the girly girls, and like her social game is what she's going to try to lean on, even though I thought she's a lot, like her personality is huge. So I was like, okay, that's either going to be like a hit or miss once she gets in the house. But then for her to be the last one, like I thought LaToya had it in the bag. She's awesome to me. Like if I had to pick a winner right now, like I'm all in on her. But like I saw her biceps pipe popping out. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, she's good. But then here comes Victoria.
I think it's good for LaToya that she did not do very well, just because like my worry for her coming in was like, there's no way she's going to be able to hide that she's a physical threat. I mean, like she was saying she's going to come in and, you know, be, you know, not say she's a police officer, say that she's a fashion designer, which is great. And I love that idea. But then I was thinking to myself, like, yeah, but she's not gonna be able to hide how fit she is. Like, she's not gonna be able to hide that aspect of her. But, you know, I think that this works out well for her. Like, honestly, like it's a double-edged sword, because it's like, you know, you don't want to be the weak one, but at the same time, like you kind of do, at least in the beginning.
Yeah, just don't underestimate the roller skaters.
It's true. Skating is hard.
Yeah. Yes, that was definitely interesting. So we get this challenge. The Kiefer's team has lost. We did have an interesting moment where Kiefer and Tina are the first people in the house. They then are going to watch the other people come in. They can't listen. I wasn't entirely sure what the point of this was.
Yeah, I feel like I number one, I don't love it, because like, okay, cool. So you just get to see people walk in. Like, what good does that do? Not only that, like you lose valuable time. Like, I mean, I guess like if you can hear them, then it's like, okay, maybe you can hear secret alliances being formed. Like, that's beneficial. But like, if you can't hear them and you just see them, then they're forming small alliances, or they're forming bonds, even just initial bonds without you. So that's not good. And then when you finally come in and they say they've been watching you, it's like everybody in there is going to be like, that's not good. I don't like that they were watching me. So they already have this like weird feeling about them that like they got to see more than I saw. What if they know something? You know, what if they saw me talking to this person and now they suspect that I'm working with them? Like, I just feel like it creates this divide between them and the group. And then especially when they parade them out as captains, it's like, oh yeah, and Canada loves them, and here's your captains picked by Canada, hand selected. It's like, well, okay. So then that's not great either, because it shows that like, okay, they already have a leg up. Canada already knows about them. They must've seen their bios. There must be something interesting to them to make Canada pick them. Like, maybe it is like a Derek situation, you know, where Derek was picked for Team America because of his story about being an undercover cop. Like, I mean, you don't know. So I think that like it creates a bad situation for Tina and for Kiefer. That's how you say his name. Like, I just feel like it's not good for anybody. And then there's no point to it. It's like they didn't learn anything from it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, what was like literally the only purpose was to see what they looked like before walking the room. So they didn't have to like scope everyone out at that moment, like to see their height, their build, everything like that. Cause there was, it's not like they got to interact a ton. So there was nothing they could get out of people, because what's one person talking to another person? That's not, oh, they have a final two. No, they're learning each other's names. It's like, I don't know.
Or you could like suspect that someone is creating a final two, even though they are just learning each other's names, because a handshake in this context could literally mean, hi, nice to meet you. But it could also mean like, hey,
Undercover Brothers,
final two Undercover Brothers shake on it. Like, I feel like it could mean anything and you could get the wrong impression of literally everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's after season seven, the advice was don't do anything right away. Don't go into the pantry right away and make a final four alliance. Wait a little while to make sure everyone's there first. but yeah, I will say this. This is an improvement over last season, where like last season they got them all together and they were like, so Canada voted and here are their least favorite people. It's like, OK, this is at least a little bit. OK, Canada vote. Here are their two favorite people. Like, at least we're going nicer. Positive instead of negative. That's a slight improvement here.
But even the reveal was crazy because, yeah, like they paraded them out, like, here are your captains. But Arissa said, like, Canada has been voting before they knew there were two people hidden. So you have people thinking, oh, for sure, I was voted. I was like, even the look on Rohan's face was like, oh, maybe I got it. And then just to be shut down to find out, oh, no, it's two people y'all haven't met yet were voted. It's just like, ugh. I'm glad that both of them are safe because that just puts a bad taste in their mouth a little bit. But I mean, we'll see how it pans out.
Plus, I think like for the future as well, like I don't even think it just influences like this week. I think that because it's like, oh, OK, cool. They're safe this week. But then I think there's an issue that like, you know, in Big Brother Canada, Canada votes for certain things. Like sometimes Canada votes to like nominate people or make someone HOH or give someone a secret power. And I feel like if you know that already off the bat that somebody is a favorite of Canada's, like whether or not they end up being a favorite of Canada's, we think at this point they're a favorite of Canada's because they've been voted, you know, by Canada.
You're
to
predisposed
be the captains.
To be fan favorites. Yeah.
Exactly. And so it's like you would think in your mind, like, okay, I want to get out somebody who would take that from me, like who would take that Canada's favorite designation from me. So I got to get rid of these people. Like it puts a target on their back. It separates them. It makes it so that they're like above them or whatever, because they're captains or whatever. I don't love it. I feel like I there's no benefit to it, at least from my perspective. And there's no benefit like television wise either, just because like they're standing in there silently, except for like Kiefer being like, let's make it boys versus girls. And Tina just shuts him down like, no, we're not doing that. It's like, oh, now next scene. Yeah, like, okay, so really happened.
I liked Kiefer. I've liked Kiefer since the preseason. I think that he could be very fun. That definitely gave me pause when it comes to like his strategic acumen. That even if it's a joke, even that he would say that to Tina, who clearly was not into it, was like the humor is already falling flat if it's a joke, and if it's not a joke, ill advised.
Yeah, if it's not a joke, it's bad, and if it's a joke, it's also bad.
Exactly. Were y'all surprised they were voted the captains?
So my prediction, and I put out a survey that I asked the audience, who did you vote for the captains, and Kiefer was the second most voted for person with 26% of the vote. The number one person was Julie with 43% of the vote. Number one by a mile, it was Julie, and then Kiefer. Tina was down in sixth place with 12% of the vote. I really thought it would be Julie and Kiefer. I was definitely surprised that it ended up being Tina and Kiefer. Julie has a very successful YouTube channel. She already has a bunch of fans. I think that's where I came from when I thought that she would have it. But on top of that, like, you know, the people who voted in this poll aren't Julie YouTube fans. They're, you know, Rob is a podcast fans who just they really liked Julie, as I did when we saw her preseason stuff. However, I was streaming during the episode. People did remind me that Tina is a newfie, and they tend to have a big swelling of support in Canada. You can't ever discount the regional backing in Canada.
It's hilarious because like when she introduced herself and she was like, I'm from Newfoundland. I was like, oh, a Newfie. And I'm like, I'm not Canadian. How do I know this?
You're like, I have no idea what we're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah,
no, it's weird because it's like, I can literally not imagine a situation where I'm like, oh, they're from California. I have to vote for them. Like, there's like none of that here. Yeah. It's just very funny. I will have to say, like, I was surprised to see Tina. I wasn't so surprised to see Kiefer just because I felt like he had like the personality in his intro video that like I could see people being like, this guy seems fun. I'm going to vote for him. Tina, I didn't quite get that. I just got like a nice vibe from her, like just nice. I didn't quite get like fun or exciting or anything like that. I was thinking maybe like Austin, like I totally understood like the Julie thing. Cause I was like, I didn't know at the time that she had like a big YouTube following when I was thinking about it. So, my initial thought was probably Austin just cause I was hearing a lot of good things about her right off the bat. And so I was like, oh, okay. Like that seems likely. But I was shocked about Tina. I really didn't see that coming.
Yeah. And I don't want to discount Tina either. I think she had a great intro. And I think she seemed like I was a big fan of Tina coming in. So I think, you know, on top of being a Newfie, she also seems like a very rootable character from what we've seen so far. So of the people that weren't Julie, I wasn't super surprised that it was Tina.
Yeah. I mean, I think she was very like nice and likable and everything in her intro. And I liked her a lot after watching it. However, I didn't like her in like a Big Brother sense, I guess. I just didn't see like the fight in her. I felt like she was kind of like, I want to go there and have a good time. And I want to show people that, you know, I'm nice and be liked, you know, it was like, I didn't quite get like, I'm there to win. So for me, it kind of fell flat, but just, that's just cause like, I look for like people who are just like, I'm gonna win. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Josh was an interesting one for me because he had such a strange intro. And then he walks into the house and he's instead of like the long sort of dangling hair with the single light bulb talking about simulations, he's dressed up in a suit. He's got his hair slicked back. And I'm still just trying to figure out like who exactly is Josh. I still don't know.
I'm interested in Josh. I'm intrigued by Josh. I feel like I really liked his intro video. I felt like it was different. It's not something we usually see. And at first I was a little nervous because it was like, in his intro video, he's like, I'm a lone wolf or whatever. But then he was like, oh, I can't wait to interact with people. I've missed interacting with people so much. And so I'm like, oh, okay. So he like does like people. Like maybe he's a lone wolf or he wants to think of himself as a lone wolf. But like, he's not just going to like hang off in the corner by himself. He's going to like converse with people and actually like build relationships. I feel like I get a good vibe from him. I've been burned too much to say this. Like, I feel like Big Brother has burned me so much that I'm so wary of being like, this guy's great going into it because like they always end up being terrors. And, you know, someone's going to like screen cap this or whatever and be like, Melissa said that she liked Josh. But at this point, I feel good about Josh and I'm hopeful that it stays that way.
See, I'm so nervous that like, okay, he says he's a lone wolf, but I fear that he might be the one that they rally against to vote out because I don't know. Fingers crossed. I really hope not, because I think his vibe is great. I think that it would be really nice to see his personality type in the house, and just, he doesn't seem like he's going to try to be over the top, or he just seems like a very real person, someone like relatable because he's a real person. Because we didn't get to see him interact with a lot of people, I'm just really nervous that he hasn't had enough time to develop relationships to stay.
How long do you think they're going to keep up this captains thing? Because, like, I mean, isn't the whole point of Big Brother to have like an HOH and everything and like kind of do it that way? I mean, I guess they could like totally change the format and just have teams the whole time. But it does seem like it reminds me of those Big Brother US twists or whatever, where it's like, you think, oh my God, the whole game has been changed, and they only do it for like the first like 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and then they forget about it and it's never mentioned again. So I don't know.
I mean, I think Arissa said for the first few weeks. So, You know, hopefully that means
two,
three max, I guess. Yeah. Cause they're not going to just do it for two, but maybe three max. That would be great.
Right.
So that we can start watching Big Brother instead of Survivor.
How do you think that captains will be picked?
Well, that's the thing. Are we going to get new captains every week? Is that?
They have to do that.
I feel like they'd keep it the same. I feel like it's
really?
I
don't think they'd stay immune, right?
No, I don't think they'd stay immune. Yeah, maybe it's just a first just week thing. But I will say that it could be an interesting twist in that they have to pick new teams each week. Like, it could be interesting to see, like, okay, now that these are the teams for this week. Now, next week, here are your new captains. They pick new teams, and then we go from there. The only thing is that opens it up for a dominant, strong guy alliance, who just pick each other. So, no, scratch it. I don't want it. Go back.
It's like a think tank all over again.
Yeah, I want the other way.
We had so many great ideas the other night. This was not one of them.
Dead?
This is not one of them.
I just hope that they do change captains week to week, only because I don't want them to have this view of Tina and Kiefer that like they're the leaders. So then as soon as they get a chance, they're going to vote them out. Because if they don't change them and then they just vote out the captain, then they're going to have to come up with a new team captain anyway. So it's like, why not just do that week to week?
Yeah. I mean, I would is the, what's the captain role at that point? Just they're immune for the week. Would it be like a challenge? Yeah. Maybe top two finishers are immune. They're in each team, and they're immune. But then you're just like, I don't know.
Yeah, because with no HOH and no veto, we have room for another competition. And then, you know, the winning captain is always the winning captain doesn't vote, so then they don't get blood on their hands or whatever. So, you know, maybe they are setting it up for like some type of captain's competition. Like, I don't know.
Oh, is this true? Rain says, James says, Arissa said there will be an HOH next week. I don't remember.
Okay, only this week?
Yeah, I don't remember hearing that, but
I don't remember hearing that either, but it's possible I just missed it. I mean,
so how would that work? Would it be like
would they just have an HOH and then two teams still, or
would it, maybe it would be similar to like BB18, where you know, if you win HOH, your team is safe from you. Then you just nominate two people from the other team, something like that, maybe.
Yeah,
It's going to be interesting to see how this whole like teams thing plays out. I feel like we're already confused, but
it's funny since they spent so much time explaining it, but we're still scratching our heads.
We just are so used to our classic Big Brother,
right?
Our HOH, our veto, you know.
HOH and veto next week. She just specified no HOH or veto this week. I mean, it makes. I guess, okay. So if I was thinking, and I always do this, but I was thinking they were creating this twist with a game balance in mind, but I think instead they just made it this way because there's no time for a veto in two episodes if there's going to be an eviction on Thursday. So,
well, how long did they do that? Like, what was it? The heaven and hell thing where it was like,
it was if just you the first were. Week.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm wondering is maybe it is just the first week. Like, maybe it is just we want to see these teams be formed, and then maybe people have bonds with each other, or maybe this is a way to keep fan favorites safe the first week, you know, like, who knows?
I mean, there's a bunch of things they can do with teams. They don't have to stick to half the cast is immune every week, which I think is really lame. So, you know, I mean, could you imagine, like, if this lasts 3 to 4 weeks, if the same team is immune every week?
It's a pagonging, right?
That would be a disaster. So hopefully the idea is that this is the week one team twist. But next week there will be an HOH and teams will be moderately involved in some way, but it's not going to be like, you know, half the cast is immune. Hopefully that'd be great.
Right. Yeah. Maybe. Cause I was thinking maybe that would be too much power if like the winning team only competes for HOH. Cause then they would be safe yet again.
If seven people are immune for a month in Big Brother, like what?
Exactly. Yeah. It's so funny because it reminds me of I was watching the episode and my roommate's like super, super, super casual, like watches it only if she's in the room. She was like, oh, wait, there are two teams. Isn't that like basically BB20? I was like, oh, yeah. Level 6 in Falte.
Yeah.
These ones are on purpose.
Right.
Yes. By the producers.
Yes. There wasn't a ton to this episode. I did feel a little bit like, again, I feel like I usually feel this way with the Big Brother Canada premiere. I felt like I wanted more.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm probably going to feel the same way after tomorrow night's episode, but then the feeds will come on and I'll be like, okay.
And then you're like, well, too much.
I wouldn't have been mad about like an hour and a half.
I feel like they should have had a longer, like, I just feel like if you're going to release the cast videos early, which I love, please keep doing it. That's great. They should at least then give like a 2-hour premiere or like an hour and a half. So that way, like the people who have, you know, the dedicated fans or whatever who have watched all the intro videos already aren't just sitting there for the first like 30 to 45 minutes being like, okay, I already know all this. Like I want something new.
Yeah. I mean, I think I say this every season, particularly with Big Brother Canada. And I think this was sort of a better version of what we've seen before, but you know, we're getting diary rooms from Brayden during the competition saying the stakes have never been higher. And I'm watching and I have such a disconnect with what I'm seeing because I feel the complete opposite. I don't know any of these people yet. I've barely seen them interact. Like I barely even know who's on what team or what one winning over the other would even mean at this point. So I really just the entire competition, which could have been really tense if I was already invested in the characters, just fell completely flat for me because I was like, I mean, okay, impressive, Victoria, but I didn't really mind either way because I didn't really know who any of you were.
Yeah, I feel like one of the only reasons I like really cared about like who was winning and losing was because of our draft. I was like, okay, wait, so I have two draft members on this team and two draft members on that team. Okay.
Melissa's dogs were very into it, though. They were they already have favorites. But yeah, I think for me, at the very least for me, the premiere should be about finding out who these people, getting to know the cast, and the intros are great for that. I love the intros. Even like I will not complain about the intros at all, even though I've seen them already. I know that when I was young and I watched Big Brother US and I wasn't looking at bios and videos beforehand, I always loved the intro portion of the premiere because I was getting to know all the new people and I was like, ooh, this person looks interesting and this person looks fun. And I was getting excited watching the intros. I was like, oh man, all these people seem so great. I can't wait to see them interact. But the second half of the episode, instead of having like this big competition, I really would have liked to have just gotten to see their first conversation and diary rooms about like this person seems like a jerk and you know, this person seems super hot and like whatever else you know they like to say about each other. Like I want to know what these thoughts are. And it's going to feel a little bit weird to have like all of these, you know, I hope that we don't start the next episode and they're already like, so We've got to start doing this. Like, wait a minute, you still haven't gotten to know each other. I haven't gotten to know you yet.
Yeah, it's so hard because I literally think that's what it came down to, is needing more time. Like, I understand if they want to send someone home tomorrow that we needed that comp tonight, and it wouldn't have made sense for that comp to be like 2 minutes, because you need to see the struggle, the fact that it went over an hour. Like, that's crazy. That was impressive. You hardly see that. But it's just like, yeah, by the time someone goes home tomorrow, I'm not going to know much about them besides a few words.
I feel like you don't really ever get to know, like, the first boo. It's unfortunate, but it does feel that way, where it's kind of like, well, guess we'll never know. Like, this could have been a good person, but
we don't know. Especially in Big Brother Canada, because the feeds don't even come up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So we have no idea. Yep. They just leave, and then that's that. And then, you know, you just are like, well, we'll never know who they could have been.
Imagine if we had missed out on, like Summer of Steve or Jace BB17. Like, imagine if we had missed the Jace Steve moment. Like, these are all the things that Big Brother Canada is just leaving on the table with their first week coverage. Somebody else had a good point in the chat as well, which is that, like, Survivor has a 42-minute episode premiere. Sometimes they'll do 2 hours, and that's always great. But they have had, you know, 1 hour episode premieres where they introduce a bigger cast, and they have at least one challenge, sometimes two, and they have an elimination all in one episode, same time frame, and you usually have a much better set. You've usually gotten to know the players a lot better than I think you get to see them interact. You get to see them communicate. You get to see their personalities. You get to see some strategy. What is it about the Big Brother Canada that they can't fit anything into this episode, you know?
I know. It's like, how do they master that? We get to know the Survivor players on the island. You know, it's not like we have these intro videos that we have to spend 20 minutes on for the episode. So that could be one thing. Like, we get to know them throughout the episode. You know, it's not all the time just up front. So I don't know.
Yeah,
they got to figure it out.
I mean, again, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm a much bigger fan of 2 hour premieres for Survivor. I often come out of Survivor premieres barely knowing half the cast, but at least I kind of know some of the cast, right? And they fit much more into the episode, and I think they get more out of it. So, things that I'll continue to talk about every premiere until they start to get it right, which will be never. But it's still exciting. I'm very excited about this cast. I really want to see them interact. I think something that we need to talk about is we need to make predictions, and like, where do we think we want this to go? Because here's the fun part about tonight is that we're going to be like, well, please do not let this person go home. That would devastate me. Hopefully this person ends up going home. And then the feeds will come on and we'll be like,
yeah.
So about that, that person can go, actually.
I know. I imagine the feeds are going to come on and the first conversation will be like, yeah, so we're pretty decided on LaToya going, right?
Yeah. And you'll be like, no. And then you'll watch her and you'll be like, you know what? Fine.
I'm like, she's not talking to anybody. Yeah. I don't get it.
It's always funny how, like, you never really know what's going to happen when the feeds first come up. I just remember when, like, the feeds for, what was it, Big Brother 19 come up, and like, Jessica and Cody are in bed together and like are clearly in a showmance, and we were all like, no, we were like, no, Jessica, what are you doing? So I feel like you really never know. Like, it's going to be interesting to see, like, who likes each other, who hates each other, who's friends, who's not friends. Like, it's always first week of feeds, or like first like night we get feeds, is always so exciting because you're just like, it's a mad dash to try and figure out who's friends with who, who's targeting who, who's in alliance with who, what's happened since the feed, like before the feeds came on, you know? So I'm very excited.
Yeah. So we've got Jed, LaToya, Josh, Rohan, Julie, and Brayden. For me, I'm like, I've such high hopes for Julie. I just don't want to see Julie go. But you know, for all I know, the feats can start and she's a total flop or whatever, but like, I hope she's not. I feel like there's a lot of potential there. I really don't want her to go, but then I look at everyone else and there's something that I'm hopeful for in every, in every player. Like Jed, I'm hoping that he, I love this connection he's making with Tashaun. I'm really curious to see how it plays out. Will he just be like an alpha bro that runs this, you know, runs the popular kids alliance, or will he be like a strategic force in the house? Like, I'm really interested to know how that plays out. LaToya is such an interesting character. You know, I would love to see. I think there's a lot of potential there. Josh is so confusing. I want to know who he is before I want to say that I'm willing to let him go. Rohan is this guy that's like playing up this like, I'm gonna be a mastermind, I'm gonna play hard, and I always love that, and but he could end up flopping, and then, you know, then at that point I'll be like, okay, fine. But and then Brayden, who I think is just gonna be so much fun, and definitely could be a dark horse. Like I feel like I'm just seeing upsides in every single one of them. Like, I don't want to lose any of them yet. Like, I don't even know them yet.
No, yeah, totally. I mean, this is like one of the first seasons, I would say, one of the first seasons that I'm excited about every single person on the cast. I feel like usually there's at least like one or two people who I'm like, you know, they can go. I like don't care. Just let them go. They can be with the first boot. I don't care. But I feel like in this situation, I could see everybody doing well. It really just depends. So, you know, I'm hopeful for the season. I'm excited. I feel like really good things could come this season. You know, we just have to see.
Yeah. That's why I was rooting for this team, because of that, there's upside to every single person, where if I look at the other team, I'm like, you know, Kyle, I mean, Beth. Okay. you know, like I just felt a little bit more indifferent about, a couple more people on the other team than this one.
Yeah, I would say if I had to choose between Destiny and Defender, I'd probably pick Defender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So pulling for them next week if they are still a team at that point.
Yeah. I mean, if I still feel the same way about them.
True. Yeah. If they don't reveal themselves to be other kinds of people than we imagine.
But yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we have today. There's not like a whole lot else to talk about here. Unless you've got anything else, Melissa.
Nope. I think we basically covered it. I mean, we talked a lot about the cast in the draft, so I feel like we covered the cast members themselves, or at least what we know of them so far. I think like the key is just going to be, you know, how it plays out once feeds come on. I just like that'll change everything. So I'm very excited to see it.
Yeah, there were a couple things I wanted to point out. Arissa looked amazing, as usual. Yeah. She was serving us all kinds of leg. I'm like, I need to go do some squats so I can have
yes.
her legs.
And I mean, I could immediately feel the Arissa influence. Maybe this is what you're about to talk about, but talking about the land that the house was on, I was like, this is such like, this is definitely like an Arissa influence yes. thing. I loved that.
Yes, that was so awesome. And then just like, yeah, when have they ever taken time to point that out? So that was amazing. And then just the production value, just every season blows the US out of the water. Like it was that intro, I felt like I was watching this like amazing like action-packed movie, like getting ready to start. It gave me all the feels. So I love the production value of this of Big Brother Canada. But one person we didn't really talk about was Tara. I just thought that was cute in her intro package when she was talking about her, she was practicing being HOH with her kids.
Yeah.
that was very cute.
But
I love Arissa so much. I just feel like she brings so much to the show. She's clearly a fan and it shows. It's like she follows along. She's one of us essentially, you know, that's what it feels like. And so, you know, I just think she's so great and it can't be said enough.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of the house? I know we had pictures beforehand, but this is our first chance of like really seeing the house in action.
I have to say, I like probably everybody disagrees with me on this, but like I never like the Canada house or the US house. I just feel like I always want it to just look like a nice house.
I'm with you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, good. I'm not alone.
I haven't always, like, I'm okay with, like, some weird themes here and there, but, like, you know, I was streaming with Bruno and Kevin last night, and then Bruno went and watched an episode of Big Brother Canada 1, and I saw that house, and it just looked like a house, and it just was so nostalgic. It was just like, oh, they're actually living in a place that looks like a place.
like, give us some, like, nice mid-century modern, like, you know, a nice, you know, modern farmhouse. Modern, like, farmhouse. I just feel like I want a nice house that I'm like, ooh, I'd love to live there. That looks beautiful. But instead, I'm like, thank God I don't live in this stuff. Like, that is, like, honestly, it's like, it looks like crazy, but it's like, I don't necessarily want to see crazy. It's also distracting for the eyes sometimes. It hurts. It's just like when you're watching feeds all day and it's just like bright red and bright white. It's like, oh, okay, this is too much. This is a lot. I don't know. I like a normal house. I know that's like boring or whatever, but I like a normal house. Sue me.
The only thing I love is the ball pit. I mean, I just want to see them in there. I know they're probably going to have fun with it. It's probably going to be less and less balls as the day goes on.
Yeah. I'm wondering how long that will last. If they're really like they're just, you know, not attached in any way. Like,
I read a comment or something where someone was saying, I'm just waiting for the day when two people are in the ball pit, like whispering, and I have the volume turned all the way up. And then all of a sudden, like someone jumps into the ball pit or whatever. And it's just like so noisy and loud. And their ears are just like,
Someone in my chat pointed out, and they were so on the ball, you know, no pun intended, looking out for this, but the fake plants, first of all, I can appreciate the narrative of why it's like an overgrown BB Can 8 house. I don't love the overgrown look. I think it could be done right, but it's just a bunch of fake looking plants everywhere. I didn't think it looked very great. And on top of that, they were making some noise. There's a lot of like rustling happening when people are like walking into them and they're moving and they're blowing. It's I'm a little concerned.
Yeah. How long are these plants going to last before they're like, it's too bad for the sound. We need to remove them. I feel like I wish they had real plants. I know that's like, it's hard because it's like, well, who's going to take care of them? We can't guarantee there's going to be a bunch of dead plants everywhere. But like, I feel like it would look so nice if it was just like a beautiful, like jungle-esque, you know, nice house with plants, you know, actual life, you know, that, but you know, I get it. There are constraints, but yeah, right. I'm not a huge fan of the fake plant look.
what do we think of these names, by the way? Destiny and Defender. Where did this come from? Yeah.
Here's what I thought. Okay. Here was my initial thought, was that there's going to be two like alumni who come in and they like help coach each of the teams, and they're defending their legacy, or like their destiny is to win or whatever. Like, that's what I thought it referred to, was like these past house guests who are coming in. Well, it seems like we're not getting that. So, I mean, who knows, but at this point it seems like we're not getting that. So now I have literally no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah, I see Puya in the chat suggested Destiny and Prophecy. He's not a huge fan of Defender.
Well, Defender's like, defending what? You haven't won anything. Yeah. You guys, you're not a winner.
Yeah,
I don't know.
They're also like, they're different kinds of words. Like,
right, Defender, they're not in the same category.
Yeah, like Defender is like a description of a person. And Destiny is like its own thing. Like, it's,
yeah, it's like maybe defenders and challengers, and then Destiny and, you know, something else. Yeah. Like, it doesn't make sense. They just both start with a D. That's literally it. They're not in the same arena type of words.
They just like went and looked up dictionary words that start with a D. And they're like, this works, I think.
D-E. Okay, we have a D-F. Okay, and a D-E-S.
Cool. I mean, is this going to be incorporated into the twist somehow, where like the Destiny team gets like some sort of like, I don't know, future attack power, and the Defenders get some kind of like present defending power? I don't know, like, what?
I like Puya's comment in the chat. It's like, all right, we got two teams. It's the Onions and the Hair Co. Just like two random names. It's like, I love onions. And what do? You brush your hair. Oh, love it. We have our teams.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
It feels like they were like, all right, here we go. We need team names. Okay. Here's one. Destiny. Oh, that's a great name. Team Destiny. That's awesome. All right. Team Destiny. What do we do for the other name though? It's going to fit into the theme of Destiny, right? What fits into the theme of Destiny, but it's like the opposite of Destiny. Like, no, that's lame. How else can we fit it? Oh, same letter, maybe?
Right. Sound. The sound is similar.
Yeah, like a D-E kind of thing, like Defender.
No. They're like the Deliberators. No. That's not going to work.
No, we can be better.
Defender of Destinies.
Maybe we'll come to understand it later. I don't know. Just seems...
Look. If they have a Hodor moment later in the season, I'll give them major props. But I think what's most likely going to happen is that these teams will dissolve and nothing will ever come of Destiny and Defender, and we'll never know why.
It's just a mystery, a classic Big Brother Canada mystery.
Yeah. Unless there's still a chance that two people from a past season come in and they try to incorporate it into the team names, where the person who's going to Destiny is trying to, like, you know, have a different destiny in the game, and the Defender is trying to defend how well they did in the game. Maybe.
See, Anonymous in the chat just suggested Destiny and Legacy as better names. And I feel like that is such a better name. It like makes more sense.
Yeah.
It's like you're trying to fulfill your destiny, or you're trying to like seal your legacy, or like secure your legacy. It's like those make sense to me. But Defender, it's like, well, what are you haven't done anything yet. So what are you? We could get it. We could talk about this like all day. It's just like how it doesn't make any sense. But I feel like it's like, what's the point?
Yeah. All right. Well, I believe that's what we have for you tonight then. It was an interesting premiere. I'm definitely very excited for, you know, hopefully we get something good tomorrow night. But really what I'm looking for are the live feeds when they start up. What kind of game we will be looking at, again, I'm excited about this cast. I'm excited about this season. I think the fact that you can already, you know, sort of feel Arissa's influence in many ways is a really great thing. So that's what we've got. Asia, any final thoughts?
I'm so excited for the season. I'm just glad to have a Big Brother season back, specifically Big Brother Canada, because I always feel like it gives me a little something different than Big Brother US. So I'm excited. I love Arissa. I'm already loving what she's doing with the season, like you said. So I'm ready for the season.
All right, Melissa.
I'm just super happy that we have another season. I'm super excited to talk about it. I feel like last season just kind of just ended abruptly, and it's really nice to have it back.
Yes, for sure. So glad to be back, for sure. Tomorrow night we will be live after the episode to recap tomorrow night's episode, and then Monday Rob will be here to talk about the Monday night episode. Tuesday night will be our first roundtable podcast. The Stockwatch will be in session. We'll be buying and selling all of the players, trading their future, their destinies, and figuring out which one is going to do well. So be excited for that. And that's what we've got. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I was live during the episode to watch with you guys, and I'll also be live to watch the feeds when that happens, and all sorts of stuff on Twitch. Asia, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia, so it's A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. A-S-I-A. And you can, it's a little tongue twister. You can also find me over on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. Well, probably where you found this podcast. I am talking about Married at First Sight, the season. We're talking about season 12. It's a very interesting show. You never checked it out. Amy and I from the Bachelor Wrap-Up, we break it all down. So you don't even have to watch the episode. You just hear it all from us. And it's a hoot. So definitely go check it out. Check that out.
All right. Melissa.
You can find me at on all social media platforms at It's Melissa with three A's. You make me do it myself this time.
It's right there. They can see it now if they're watching the video.
Oh, you're right. Well, yes, that's where I am. All social media.
There you go. Thanks again so much for joining us tonight, and see you all next time.